Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that every person is special, every person is a minister, and that you can use anyone here to reach out and be the hands and heart of Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you bless this message, that we get the impact of this message in our hearts that's translated to our feet. We learn to walk out what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you very briefly. It's going to be a short message. It's 11:30 now. I'll be finished well before noon. I want to talk to you about growing the team. Growing the team. I want to say the first thing is this. There's nothing more valuable to God than the church. There's nothing more valuable to God on the face of this earth than God's church, right? And today we realize that the church is a team. The church is a team. Let's have a picture of a team. I think we have a picture of it. The church is a team. And it's a team that's made up of many other teams, right? Church is a team made up of many other teams. So briefly, I'm going to talk to you about growing the team. We need to grow teams or our church won't grow. We need to grow teams or our church won't grow, right? And if you don't have teams, if we don't have teams, this is what can happen. The team, the leaders, the handful of leaders can feel resentful. Why? Because they're trying to do all the work and they're getting stressed out. Not only does that happen, but church members, you guys, us, you can feel like you're not needed. You know, you can feel, if you feel no call to a commitment because, well, all the ministry and all the work is done by the handful of leaders and paid staff. Isn't that right? So therefore, the members feel no call to commitment and no need to be here because everybody else is doing all the stuff, so good reason to be gone, right? See, the question is this. Does God want you to be a contributor or a consumer? There's a big difference between a contributor and a consumer, right? I believe, and I strongly believe, this statement right here. So I'm going to put it on your PowerPoint. I strongly believe that every Christian needs to be committed and to serve in the mission of the local church. Every Christian needs to serve, right? Everyone needs to be on a team. Everyone needs to serve. Everyone needs to be like Jesus. What's the first thing that was said about Jesus? He was a servant, right? And he humbled himself. He didn't come to be served. He came to what? Serve and give his life for the ransom of many. So we need to get on a team. I want to give you really quick 5 reasons why people should be on a team. 5 reasons for why you should be on a team. Write this down if you got a notebook, right? 5 reasons. Number one, because when you get on a team, you feel good about yourselves. When people get on a team, they feel good about themselves because they're doing something. They're giving something. That's the nature of how God created us. Not just to receive, but he created us to give. And it feels so good to give, doesn't it? You know, this is true. Every human being has a brain, right? That's right. But I want to go further than that. I want to just leave it there. Every human being has a brain that needs to feel 3 things. It needs to feel like it belongs. It needs to feel loved. And it needs to feel needed. Every single person that comes through those doors, even as they're sitting, and every one of you sitting here, you need those 3 things. And you get that when you're on a team. Everyone, we have a slogan, which is our home church slogan. Everyone needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs a home. And in that home, they need to feel like they belong. They need to feel loved, and they need to feel that they are needed. Amen? We need every single person to serve and to become a part of our team because there are so many areas of ministry. and meeting the needs of people. That's the number one, get on a team to feel good, better about yourself. Number two, when people get on a team, they get organically connected and supportive of each other. Organically connected, supportive of each other. I believe this is God's provision for support for us when we're in times of crisis. Listen, when you're in times of crisis, you need God, don't you? But you need more than God. I'm not saying that God is not enough. God made it that in this way. When you're in times of crisis, you need God and you need God's people. You need people around you. When I'm in crisis, I need God, but I need people around me. I need people around me to surround me, to encourage me, put their hands on me and pray for me and intercede for me and comfort me. I need people like that, don't you? Here's what Romans chapter 1 verse 12 says. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. You get it? Message version says, I so want to be there to deliver God's gift in person and watch you grow stronger right before my eyes. But don't think I'm not expecting to get something out of this too. You have as much to give to me as I do to you. We connect in the relationships. We start loving on each other, caring for another, supporting each other. We get better, stronger, right? And we get blessed. And the people outside are wondering, how come those guys are so blessed and so happy? How come things are going good in life? Because, you know, there must be something about God. I want in, right? I want in. What a tremendous witness to the world when we're walking in the peace, in the presence, being supported, connected, and loving each other. Greatest witness to the world, amen? That God is real. Number three, when you get on a team, your children will end up growing in the church family. How important is that to you? How important should that be to you? You know what the answer is? Huge. Incredibly important. I want to tell you, it breaks a parent's heart when their kids run off and stop serving God. I've heard Christian parents say their kids claim that they're now atheists and they don't believe in God anymore. Wow. What a sad indictment. You know, we have a moral responsibility to transition, to transfer our heritage, our faith in Christ to the next generations. Amen? Your children will end up serving God. When you get into church, you start serving people, loving on, you get connected by God with each other, your kids will end up serving God. Number four, when you get on a team, when people serve, they're more likely to show up when needed. It's almost like we're talking about other, we're having a discussion as a leadership team. You know, if we can just get more people connected on the team, right? They're more likely to show up. That's what we say as pastors, but it's true, isn't it? When you get on a team, you're more likely to be there, right? You know, the church is a team, and everyone on the team is needed. NHL hockey is coming back. Hallelujah, praise God. And you see Connor McDavid, you know, he's a superstar, right? McDavid, he's probably the best hockey player in the NHL right now. You're going to argue with me that, I know. Sid, the kid and everything. But listen, he's nothing without the team around him. He's nothing. Can never achieve what he's doing without a team, right? Church is a team. Every Sunday morning is team day. Every Sunday morning is game day. Every Sunday morning is one day for someone that will change his life forever. Every day is one day when that one person can have and will have an encounter with Christ and their life will change forever into eternity. Amen? Amen. One more. When you get on a team, when people get on a team, our church gets stronger, and more effective in this mission. Here's the key saying that I believe. Assimilating people is the greatest key to church growth. As we grow our teams stronger, better, as we grow more teams, our church will grow. It's almost like the base, the foundation. The bigger the base, the broader a base of teams and people serving, the bigger the church gets. And this church needs to get way bigger. It's getting bigger. It's because people are serving on the teams, right? We're ministering to people that come through our door. Assimilating people is the greatest key to church growth. Tell you a story very quickly. This is a news feature. I think it happened last month. It's about 80 beachgoers that formed a human chain in order to rescue people that were caught up in a rip current. Do you remember that? The story is here. This happened in Panama City, Florida. And it happened when two kids were playing in the water, and they got caught up in this riptide. And they started screaming for help. The first one that jumped in to save them was mom. And mom jumped into the water. She got caught up and turning around this riptide. She ended up having a heart attack. One by one, the members of the family went after the group. Everyone got caught in the very same predicament. All the spectacle and all the screaming and the yelling grew a whole group of ongoers, onlookers came and was observing this thing, and they all kind of stood there. And they knew how they knew they were witnessing not only a dangerous event, but they were actually going to be witness to a very inspiring event, and they were going to be a part of it. So this one guy made this comment. Man, they're all stuck out there. The riptides pull them in. I try to get in there, but if I get in there, I'm going to get caught too. There's nothing we could do. But his wife was a quick thinker. And she looked at that group of ongoers and she said, come on, let's get together. She got the group together. Said, let's form a human chain. Let's anchor ourselves to the shore, but let's form this human chain. Let's grab each other's arms. And they started grabbing each other. They went out further and further. 80 people got together and formed this human chain after several minutes of huge struggle. Successfully, they rescued every single person and brought them to safety. Praise God. Amen? You know, that's one of the most, you know, that's a picture. That's also a very good illustration of how God uses people. You know, one of the most beautiful things, the most beautiful parts of the gospel, is that when God saves his children, he doesn't just leave them alone, but he doesn't want them to sit idle, but he allows them to join him in his work of preaching and sharing the good news to the remainder of the world. Amen? Amen? That's, you know, and that happens when we get on a team. When we get on a team, you know, by ourselves we can do nothing, but we get on a team, we can do incredible things like these 80 people. And this, every single one of them, there's a whole bunch of family members, but here's just the last picture of this. I think it's mom. She had a heart attack in the water, but she was rescued and she's recovering. Wow. That's a powerful picture of how God wants to use us today and get us on a team. Amen? You know what happens when you get on a team? And it's all about God not leaving people alone, right? God doesn't, you know, when you come to City Light, you just can't sit in your seat. I'm not going to leave you alone. God's not going to leave you alone in that seat. Just come in, sit here for an hour and a half and zip out. No, God's going to go, he's not going to leave you alone. You know, he's going to go after you. He's going to want to use you to do his work on the face of this earth, right? You know, it's all about God not wanting to leave us alone. And you know, God wants us, you and me, to get alongside people, step by step, side by side, turning sons into fathers, consumers into contributors into leaders. Happens when we get on a team. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews talks about two key figures, Moses and Jesus Christ. Let's look at that scripture. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, says, "For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything." Moses was faithful as a servant. Say servant. Servant. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son. Say Son. Son. Over God's house. Okay. These are two figures, also two attitudes, two identities. What the writer of Hebrews is saying here, you can see yourself as a servant, or you can see yourself as a son. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a servant when you get on the team? Oh, I just got to serve. I just got to do my duty. They're always asking me, so I'm just going to give in and cave in this time. I'm just going to do it, right? Because they keep bugging me, right? No, you know, is that the attitude of a son? What's the difference between a servant and a son? But you know what it is? Ownership. Ownership. You know what else it is? Inheritance. A servant never inherits, never owns, just does the work. A son inherits. A son owns what the father has. Amen? God wants us to be sons and daughters in the house who take ownership of the house. This is your inheritance. The house is the inheritance. Do you get that? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance," where? "In his holy people." In his house. He's talking about the local church. The local church is your inheritance. It's where the riches of God come to you. It's where you participate together in the purpose of God, the blessing of God, provision of God, the protection of God, the care of God, the comfort of God, the healing of God. Everything comes to you in and through your inheritance, which is in the house and in the saints. Do you understand that? It's like Paul is saying here, open up your eyes. Open up your eyes, people, to the glorious riches that you have in the inheritance, in the house, in your church, local church family. It's powerful, isn't it? But this is truth. He's talking about the local church. So I promise you, I'm almost finished here. I'm going to challenge you. Finish off with just a four-point challenge. Are you ready for this? So, if the house is your inheritance, and it's a place where you get blessed, where the glorious riches of Christ come to you, then number one, invest in your inheritance. Invest in your inheritance. Give. Give some time. Give your talents and your abilities. Give your money to support the house. Give. Right? Give. And then invest in your inheritance. Get on a team. Get on a team. Number two, increase your value. Increase your value. Right? Serve. There are so many areas of ministry. One of them we mentioned was just the registration, just registering kids back. There's a whole team of people. There are teams that are necessary for the coffee bar. We need more people serving in the coffee bar. We need more ushers. We need more greeters. We need more. They're all over the place, right? So if you're just doing, maybe you're a greeter and you've been greeting for a while, but why don't you get on another team as well? Because you're not greeting every Sunday. Why don't you get on another team as well? Why don't you increase your value, right? Why don't you get and serve in a kids ministry, right? Anybody could serve in the registration. Anybody could serve there. In any given area, it takes no huge talent or special ability to serve in any one of these areas that we talked about this morning. Do you know that? Any one of you can serve in any one of those areas. I love it when people, you know, just are willing to serve in any area and just, you know, serve anywhere. I see some people, they're heroes to me in this church. You know, and I'm trying to think of, and I thought about Nancy Dick. Nancy Dick, she's one of my heroes, you know. Making her embarrassed here. But I remember Nancy, I see her, she's working in a registration desk. Oh, somebody didn't show up for the coffee bar. Oh, well, I can serve over there, so she's serving over there. She's serving in kids' ministry, or she's a greeter. She says, she just goes wherever the need is, right? She's like Wonder Woman. She's here, there, she's everywhere. You could put on a cape or something like that. No, don't do that. But you know, we need to serve, right? So, invest in your inheritance, increase your value. Number three, put this one up. Say yes to everything. Say yes to everything. Somebody asks you, don't say no like you have to everything. Start saying yes, right? Start saying yes. Be the first in line to do whatever needs to be done, right? Whatever needs to be done. I have a note here. Take ownership. Take ownership. Number four, last one, honor. Honor. Honor everybody that comes into this church. Honor every single person that comes through these doors. Honor those, you know, who are struggling. Honor those who are not like you. Honor those who are probably different color than you or different social structure, you know. Where are you? Honor everyone. We honor everyone. Honor those above you. Honor those in authority. You're part of a team. Respect the team leader. You know, don't complain and whine and gripe and, you know, be a person of honor. Right? Honor up. Honor down. Honor all around. Treat everybody with respect, kindness, love, right? And get rid of the drama. There should be no drama on the teams, right? Sometimes there is drama until you work it out, but you deal with the drama, right? We honor people. We respect them. We don't yell at them, shout at them, put them down, right? Honor everyone. So those 4 points, invest in your inheritance. Increase your value. Say yes to everything. Honor those in authority. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Will you agree with me in prayer? Agree with me in prayer, please. Father God, thank you for this house. Thank you for the teams in this house. Thank you for every person that can come here and immediately feel like they can belong. Immediately feel the love of God to people that are here. That immediately feel that they're needed and that they're vital and important. God, build this house to be like that. Jesus, I pray for more teams of more people who are willing to give their time, their talents, and even finances to help build the house and take it further. So that your church can become stronger, more effective in our ministry to reach people for Jesus. Father God, build your church bigger, better, stronger, so that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Thank you, Father, for people. Father, so I declare, and I just pray that you agree with me, this is my house. This is my home. This is my church. And I want to make a difference in it. So, Father, build your church, build this house, and use me to build it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. I didn't hear enough amens. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your heads just bowed for another minute. You know, maybe you're here today. And maybe there's something that's missing in your heart. Maybe there is a loneliness in your heart. Maybe there's no peace in your heart. Maybe there's fear of the future in your heart. Or maybe even a fear of death. Whatever you're struggling with it, I want to tell you that today Jesus is the answer. Jesus said, that he would give you a peace that the world could not give. Not only does he give you peace, he gives you power. Power to live a brand new life. He has the power to heal, the power to deliver, and the power to save you. So that when you leave this life, you'll go to heaven. But God has a plan and a purpose for you right now. Right now, he's got a plan for you, a brand new life. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is the moment to give your heart to God. I want you to this is the time that you can put your life into God's hands. And no one can fill that emptiness. No one can fill that place of need except Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. So if you're here and you've never prayed this prayer, I invite you to pray this prayer the very first time. Will you repeat after me? In fact, can have everyone please repeat this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. And I believe that what you did on the cross, you did for me. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood to pay for my sins. Today I invite you into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And as we I just want to keep your heads bowed for a minute. If you said that prayer for the very first time and you invited Christ into your heart, could you just raise your hand and just wave it out, just wave it high? I've received Christ. Yeah, I see that hand, see that hand, see that hand. Okay, anybody else? Okay, raise your hand. I received Jesus into my heart. I want to tell you, life is going to change forever. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We have a special gift for those that raise their hands, and some ushers are going to greet you, take you to the welcome lounge, give you a special package, tell you what your next step is. See, Jesus grabs a hold of us, he saves us, but he has a plan, and we want to tell you what God's plan for your life is. Amen?